Welcome to Pioneer Church. We exist to be a gathering of kingdom people with kingdom passions who fulfill Jesus' kingdom purpose. The following message is from our Sunday morning worship gathering. To learn more about Pioneer Church, go online to www.pioneernc.com.
We find ourselves at the end of a year, post-Christmas. I've been using that term a lot. This morning, maybe you kind of still have that Christmas hangover a little bit, as I said earlier, but maybe for the last couple of weeks you've been maybe thinking about the end of the year. You know, I don't know about you, but I kind of do some evaluation, right? And when I get to the end of a year and I begin to think about what I accomplished, what I didn't accomplish. Anybody ever do that? You know, I tend to operate more from what I didn't get finished than what I did. That's kind of unhealthy sometimes. But man, isn't it just amazing how fast another year has come to an end? I mean, it's just hyper speed. And some of my loved ones who are a little bit more seasoned than me have said, well, that's just because you're getting older. That's why it's moving so quickly. But I do feel like we just started 2021, and now we're looking at 2022. And of course, you know what we do when we come to an end of a year. What do we do? What do we make? Oh boy, resolutions. We've talked about those in here before. What is a resolution? What does that word mean? You resolve to do something. It's a commitment, right? It's usually a response to something that was lacking in our life beforehand. You know, I mean, I kind of let you guys in on my life through a series this year. That was a mistake. I asked you to hold me accountable, man. I was going to lose some weight, and I did. I did. I got healthy, and then Thanksgiving happened, man. And I fell off the wagon at Thanksgiving and have been run over by it multiple times between now. So I've got to start the new year with a new resolution, right? I've got to jump back on that wagon to get more healthy, right? Some of you maybe will make a resolution, man, you want to get out from the burden of debt this year. I think that's a good goal, right? The scriptures say the borrower is slave to the lender. You know, debt is bad. We know that. Some of you, hopefully, as believers in Christ, you've got some spiritual resolutions you want to make. Maybe you want to read through the Bible in a year. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have read through the Bible at least one time, all the way through? Praise the Lord, man. It's not easy. Let's just be honest. It's not easy. We start out and we get to Leviticus, and again, we fall off the wagon, right? But there's something about reading through the entire narrative of God's Word. And so maybe that's a resolution you have. We're going to talk about that more next week. Maybe you want to pray more. Maybe you want to spend more time doing things that matter. You know, we don't make resolutions that are detrimental to us, right? Nobody's ever said, you know, this year I'm gaining 50 pounds, right? We don't make that kind of resolution, do we? We don't say, you know what, this year I'm going to do all I can to spend less time with my family. I'm going to be gone more than I ever have, right? I'm going to see how much dust can accumulate on my Bible this year. We don't make those kind of resolutions. And why is that? Why do we not make those kind of resolutions? Amen, right? What are resolutions supposed to do? Make our life better, right? Give us more purpose. They are a response to a lack of something in our life. But what we may not realize is that, like we personally make resolutions every year, churches should resolve to accomplish things as well. And here's what we may not realize either. We may not connect the dots. Your personal resolutions for your life affect the church. Think about it. What you decide to do with your life rubs off and is a reflection of what happens here as the church as a whole, right? Because why? We are the body of Christ. And what we individually decide to do with our lives and how we determine to spend our lives will have a reflection on the church as a whole. So this morning, I want to talk to you about some resolutions for the church. as you're making your list, as you're planning out 2022 for your life, I would ask you, I would urge you, I would plead with you to take these three things we're going to talk about this morning and make them a priority in your life. And I want to just say this, just a couple words of gratitude and encouragement before I get into this message. I just want you to know how much I love you. And some of you are going, oh, great, here it comes. I preface that. You say, well, here's the hammer's going to come today. No, that's not true. I genuinely want you to know I love you. I am so grateful that I get to be your pastor. Man, it is the top, one of the top joys of my life. I love it. And I am preaching this morning to a healthy body of believers. And I'm so grateful for that. This message could look way different today. And so I'm grateful that I get to come and talk to you this morning from a place of gratitude and encouragement. Man, we just quickly, over the past 12 months, man, people have been saved. I mean, amen, just a few weeks ago, we got to lead Miss Claire to the Lord right here on the front row of our church, man. I can't tell you how many churches don't get to experience that now. We have people who are getting plugged into all kind of groups and volunteer opportunities. There are people who are inviting their friends and their families who are discipling people. So I want you to know that what I'm going to say to you today comes from a heart that is so grateful to be a part of this church. God has provided for us time after time after time. There has not been any need that we've had that God has not provided. You guys have given of your time and your resources over and over and over this year to help God's kingdom work continue. And so I need you to know this morning that what I'm preaching to you comes from a heart that is excited about the future. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this morning's message as positive motivation. I don't want you to feel like I'm preaching down to anybody, because I'm not. What God wants to say to us this morning is something that will only make Pioneer Church better, because it will make you and me better, okay? So here's what I want to do this morning. I have three resolutions that I want to bring before you this morning for our church. And it's interesting enough, the same book we started 2021 with is the same book that we're going to end with. And I didn't plan that. But if you remember, the beginning of 2021, I began a series called Influential Church. And we went through the book of Philippians. And we're going to end our time today in Philippians chapter 3. So let me just kind of give you a crash course on Philippians really quickly. We know it was written by whom? Paul. Where was Paul when he wrote it? Paul was in prison, right? Some of the worst circumstances of his life. Yet Philippians is called the book of what? Joy. It's one of the most encouraging books of the Bible. And so this in itself is just this resolution, hopefully, for our hearts, man, that we want to go into 2022 with joy. How many of you want to spend next year joyfully? All right? And so he gives us the recipe for that in this book. And so he kind of comes to the main point. It all kind of comes to a climax in chapter 3. And so if you have your Bibles, go with me to Philippians chapter 3. That's where we're going to be this morning. Paul unveils this truth that leads him to this joy that he has that's unshakable in the midst of even being in prison. And so he kind of takes us in chapter 3 of a quick journey of his life. And if you remember in chapter 3, verse 1, or verse 4 through 6, he talks about who he was before Jesus. Remember that? He starts to name off all these accolades. You know, he was from the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee. He was educated in one of the most prestigious places that you could. Remember, he sat under Gamaliel, who was this noted Jewish scholar, man. So he was zealous for good deeds. I mean, if you wanted to look up to anybody as a Jew, it would be Paul. But what did Paul spend his life doing before Christ invaded his life? persecuted Christians. Now, like, you know, we go, was Paul a murderer? Here's what I would say. Paul was the worst kind of murderer. Paul may have not thrown the rock, or he may have not cut anybody's head off, but he orchestrated those events. And man, he had a position in life, a standing in life, where he could go anywhere he wanted to wreak havoc on the church. But Paul, from a cultural and a worldly perspective, was the man. You could not get any more successful than Paul. And the first thing I want you to notice as it pertains to our life is this. As Paul's naming off all these accolades in his life, isn't it amazing how you and I can every year fill our calendar up like that with a whole bunch of stuff that will not matter in 50 years? I want you to think about that. Think about all the things you have to do in a given week. Things that are necessary. Things that are beneficial, but maybe not for eternity. And how many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you feel imprisoned by those tasks and responsibilities? Man, if I don't do them, they're not going to get done, right? And so if we're not careful, our life can get overflowing with things that we think are important, things that we think our lives must be adhered to, and then we get to the end of a year and we go, man, what did I really do? And what did I do that has eternal significance? You see, I think that the best way for us to evaluate our life going into this new year is by asking that one primary question. Father, what have I done that's going to impact eternity? And the sad thing is, most of us would say, I don't know if there is a lot. But here's the point. We're busy. We're busy people. I laugh at my kids. Those of you who have small kids, you probably have heard this. They come up to you and they go, what? It's usually right after Christmas, too. I'm bored. You ever heard that? Like, you've got a room full of toys up to the ceiling and you're bored. I'm bored. I look at my kids and I laugh and say, buddy, there's going to be a day that you're going to want to be bored so bad. And you're just not going to be, right? But we are busy people. There are always things that are vying for our time and our attention and our energy. And so here's what I need us to focus on this morning. We've got to get to a point where we choose the things that are the most worth giving our time to. And nobody else is going to choose it for you. As a matter of fact, if we let the world choose it for us, it's going to fill our life up with stuff that doesn't matter. And so we've got to make the choice. So here's the question. How do we make that choice? I want you to ask yourself this question right now in your mind. What do I devote myself to the most? Is it the things that scream the loudest at you? With young kids, it's the things that wake you up in the morning. Is the crying of a child, right? Maybe it's the things that will benefit you the most. Maybe it's the things in your life that you say, man, this will really get me ahead in life. It'll really pad my 401k. These things will help me retire early and be able to relax. Maybe the things that you devote yourself to are the things that are going to bring you the most praise by other people. Do you wake up every morning for the sake of other people? You see, those things direct our lives. And so the question we need to ask is, how do we choose what we devote ourselves to? Now, here's the variable that we all need to consider this morning. If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, that choice, and I say this gently, that choice should not be that difficult. What we devote our lives to has already been determined when we said yes to following Jesus. He sets the course for our life. And all that stuff that you've got to do, all those obligations and responsibilities of a job and a family and all of that is playing into His plan for your life. And my point is that we get so narrow-sighted that we look at our circumstances as being the end goal. We look at our obligations and responsibilities as being the reason why we exist, and that's not true. Rather, those things are meant to point us to the purpose that Jesus has us on this earth for. And so here's what I want you to notice about Paul. He lists off all these things in verses 4 through 6, but here's what his response was starting in verse 7. Listen to this. But whatever gain I had, whatever success, notoriety, prestige came to him because of that life, here's what he says. I counted it as loss. And here's why. For the sake of who, church? Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. And here's how he ends this section, that I may know him. I mean, we could spend all morning just on that, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And here's what I want you to understand. What Paul's saying here is the core of why he's living. I mean, this is why he wakes up every day. And if you notice, he doesn't say anything about a bill. He doesn't say anything about paying a bill or how he's going to get from one town to the next. He's in prison right now. If you'd ever felt like you were the most worthless person in society, be cooped up in a prison where you can't do anything for the kingdom, right? But yet that's not his attitude. His mindset is, man, I'm giving up all of this other stuff so that I will gain Christ. So here's the point. It's very important. You got a choice you have to make. You got a choice of what you are going to pursue in 2022. Is it going to be this stuff that doesn't matter in eternity? Or are you going to lay that stuff down? And here's what I mean by lay that stuff down. Matthew 6:33 says this. Jesus says, you seek my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know what all these things are that he's talking about there? If you read in front of that passage, he's talking about the cares and anxieties of this world. Whether or not you're going to have enough food, whether or not you got enough clothing. He says, the pagans worry about that stuff. If you will make my kingdom your highest priority, everything else is going to be taken care of. But church, we've got to make that choice. We've got to choose Jesus. And so here's what Paul says. Man, my life now, nothing but Jesus. I'm going to pursue him and trust him to take care of everything else in my life. And let me just kind of give you a... If you haven't been here all of 2021, or if you've been here towards the end, I think you would see this. You guys know how much we have repeated over and over and over that the goal of your life is what? To know Jesus. Man, if you've heard anything here this year, it's been Christ. It reminds me, I was thinking back, I was looking at all the things that I'd preached throughout the year. And we ended up coming to the same conclusion in every series. And you probably have, some of y'all are probably like, yeah, I mean, I've heard the same thing over and over and over. Well, good. Here's what Charles Spurgeon said about that. Listen to what he says. I sometimes wonder, and he's talking to his church. He says, I sometimes wonder that you do not get tired of my preaching because I do nothing but hammer away on this one nail. With me it is year after year, none but Jesus. Oh, you great saints, if you have outgrown the need of a sinner's trust in the Lord Jesus, you have outgrown your sins, but you have also outgrown your grace, and your saintship has ruined you. You know what he's saying? That's all we've got is Jesus. He's the goal. We just spent 7 weeks from Thanksgiving to last Sunday talking about how he is the goal of our life. People ask you what you do with your life. You should say, I follow Jesus. I'm seeking after him. Well, what do you do for a living? Whatever he wants me to do. Because I want him. That's what Paul says. It's for his sake. It's for his sake that I've given up all these other things. And so, man, my heart's desire for you is that you would understand that the choice you have to make has to be to choose Jesus. And so here's the first resolution for 2022. For us to be more concerned about the glory of Jesus than anything else. Now, I want you to think about that. Think about what that means. Out of all the cares of your life, out of all the things that get you out of bed in the morning, do you think about the glory of Christ in your everyday tasks like you should? Here's 7 to 8 again. But whatever gain I had, I counted it as loss. And here's the phrase I want you to circle. For the sake of Christ. He says that twice in there. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. What does it mean to live your life for the sake of someone else? What does that mean?
Purpose and intent.
Purpose and intent, right? You see, we kind of tend to have this mixed up in our minds that if we're living for the sake of other people, that we're helping them out, right? It's for your sake that I do this. And that's not what this means. The actual Greek term there talks about how it is because of his greatness that we give our lives over to him, that we forsake everything else to pick him up. It's so that our lives will make him great. And so there's a word that we can interchange there, and that word is glory. We live our lives to glorify Christ in all that we do. Now, here's the other question. What does it mean to glorify Christ? Well, the most simple term, the most simple definition for glory is to give him credit. You know, when you give somebody credit, what are you doing? You're glorifying, right? You're saying you're responsible for that. So everything that we do in our lives, if it's meant to bring glory to Christ, he's the one that we're shining our light on. And so at Pioneer Church, man, if we are a church that's more concerned about the glory of Jesus more than anything else, who will shine brighter than anything else here? Jesus, right? Christ. So what does that tangibly mean for us? What does that look like for us? It's easy for us to say, man, yes, that's what I want. Amen, right? I want that to be the true case for me and this church. Until we have to start to do it. Because in order for our glory to be brought to Christ, that means the light can't shine on who? On us. And you know what? In our human tendencies, in our human heart, we struggle with that. Especially when we're doing really good things. I fight against this a lot in my life, man. Here, you know, church plant is like, the best way I've known how to equate it is, you have a baby that you're holding over a cliff in the middle of an earthquake. That's how I feel. And any time, it's going to fall out of my hands, right? And it's felt like that for the past 2 years, you know, that God has done great things. People are getting saved. We're doing what the Lord wants us to do. But at any moment, TJ's going to mess it up. That is the epitome, the antithesis, rather, of what this point is. I had a pastor tell me one time, he probably read it from somewhere, he said, man, you are not that influential that you can mess up what God's doing. Yikes. But in order for the glory of Christ to shine through me, I've got to make sure that I keep the light off of me. And the same goes for you as well. And the biggest danger to that is success. The biggest danger to stealing the glory of Christ is doing the will of God. And so Paul says, listen, I had all these things that I was doing for the sake of God that I thought, but they were really about me. And in order for the glory of Christ to be put where it needed to be, I had to lay that down. Now, I have two things that have come to my mind that I think tangibly we can work on. And I want to preface these two because I don't want them to sound legalistic. I mean, I hope you know my heart. I hope you know that I have worked really hard to not pastor from a place of manipulation or guilt, because I can't convict anybody. But if I look at Pioneer Church, I think there are two things that we can really resolve to work towards in 2022. Here's the first one. Two areas where we can elevate Jesus' glory by prioritizing our weekly worship gathering. It's ironic that I would preach this on the day that is notably the least attended day of the year. And that's because that's what it is, right? It's after Christmas. And so a lot of you are going to go, well, this ain't got nothing to do with me because, you know, I'm here. So, well, then pass it along. How about that? You see, our worship on Sunday mornings should be one of the highest priorities of our life. Here's why. Not because we check, make sure you're here, right? It's because this is the one time that we get to do something here on earth that we'll do forever in eternity. Like, do you get that? We come into this little brick building and we sing to Jesus. It is preparing us for what we're going to do forever with Him. If we define worship, it's this. It is declaring the worth of Jesus. And when life beats you down and when life pulls on you and you try to do what's right and you just can't, most of the time, a lot of us come into this place with the idea of, I need to get something from here today. But here's the problem. When things are going great and you don't feel like you need anything, what happens? We go MIA, right? That's the natural human heart. That's the tendency that we have. And so we can't look at this gathering as what do I need from God today, but what do I get to show Him by being here with my brothers and sisters? When we prioritize worship, we are sharing with our own heart and with others that we believe this is one of the most important things of our life. But unfortunately, what we see in our church today, not just Pioneer, but the church, is how incredibly influenced we are by culture. Like, you guys understand that we can do anything we want to at any time with just a click of a button. Like, we don't have to make intentional efforts to do anything anymore. Like, right now, I can click an app and it'll have my lunch ready for me at 12. Sadly, it'll be cold because we're not going to get out of here at 12 today. But we can do that, right? And never leave the comfort of our own home. We don't have any space in our life anymore for keeping things, and I hate to use this word, but keeping things sacred. Keeping things where they need to be. And so I want to warn us against some of these things that will keep us from glorifying Jesus. And one of the most obvious ways that we may be robbing Jesus of His glory is by how we are looking at the opportunity to come worship Him every week. And I just need to say this again. The Bible doesn't tell us how many days a year is appropriate for worship. But neither does it say that coming to church every week makes you holier than anybody else, right? There's only two things that it says. You are to gather together first day of the week, if possible, and don't neglect it. Those are the only two mandates that the New Testament gives for church attendance. Do it, and don't stop doing it. Now, unfortunately, it's one of those things that you don't really realize is a problem until you stop doing it. Here's what we found ourselves. This is national. It's across the board. I said this, I think, a few weeks ago. Regular attendance in the American church is now considered twice a month. You come to church twice a month, you're a regular attender. Kerry Newhoff is a church trends guy, and he's written a lot of stuff on this, especially since COVID started. And here's what he found. The churches that he's interviewed, that he's looked at, 30% of churches' regular attenders have stopped coming to church. And out of that 30%, they haven't come back. So automatically, there's a 30% decrease in the amount of people who are worshiping on a regular basis together, who are gathering together, because, he says, they now have an ongoing excuse to neglect the gathering together. And again, it's because of our culture, right? We work. We have work schedules. We have sports schedules. We have extended hours of stores. We can do everything we need to do on Sunday now. We're able to watch church on TV. Right? People say, man, why don't we stream? Like, here's why. I don't care what everybody does. It's great, man. Because the mindset is at least you're getting it somewhere. But we need to be together. Hey, every week you have an opportunity to listen to my nasally voice. And I've listened to it. And I don't like it. But we don't put it out there on Sunday morning because we want you here. And no, there's not a biblical mandate to have to look each other in the face every week. But there is something edifying spiritually about worshiping Jesus together. In the first century, their life depended upon it. And the sad thing is, our life doesn't necessarily depend on it anymore. But if we're honest, man, out of all the excuses that we have, the blame really just lies on ourselves, right? It's a choice. Here's something I want to just kind of give to you, give you an understanding of where this affects Pioneer. Because we're a church plant and we were getting funding from the state, we have to track attendance. Now, not individually, like I don't know how many times Laura showed up for church this year, but we count attendance every week, right? We have to send it in on a report, and they just want to know, I guess. Here's what we found. In 2021, our numbers stayed the same and actually increased. Praise the Lord, right? In the third and fourth quarters, our numbers went up. But here's what we also found. It was two different groups of people. So on week A, we'd have 60 people. Week B, we'd have 55 people. And it wouldn't be the same people. We had a core group, but then for the most part, it was different people showing up. And so I just remember going, man, we're going to have a problem. If everybody decides to come to church on the same week, we're going to have a problem. Now, that's a good problem to have, right? Thank the Lord for it. But we haven't had to make any changes. You know why? Because we're not all showing up at the same time. And again, I don't say that because I say, next week you better be here. I hope that's not what you're hearing from me. It's not about putting people in seats. Man, we can do that. We just got to give a bunch of stuff away, right? If you give a bunch of stuff away, people will show up. It's not about putting people in seats. My heart has never been about filling this place up with people who don't care about the kingdom. But there's something that we've got to understand about making being with our brothers and sisters to worship a priority. It's got to be my priority. And listen, you may not come because of another priority. I get it. But at some point, you've got to evaluate and weigh your priorities. And when we make the glory of Jesus our highest priority, then we'll maneuver our life in such a way that He is our highest priority. And listen, I'm not saying you got to be here 52 weeks out of the year. But I am saying that you need to be here when you can. Here's a good point that I want you to take into 2022. Jesus deserves the first part of your day and the first day of your week. If you can say, you know what, Lord, I want to give you that. I want to start there. I'll give you the first part of my day. I'll give you whatever amount of time I can. And I will do my best when I don't have to be somewhere else or I'm not sick to give you the first part of my week. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. I'll share one more thing with you. And listen, I know that you may say, I don't understand the danger of not being here. I mean, I'm here. A couple things. One, and this is not real spiritual, but it's important. How do you know what's going on? Like, how do you know what's going on? Like, what if you showed up? What if you were part of a family and you never came to family gatherings? You go, well, I didn't know we were doing that. And you know what that does? It builds resentment. Well, they must not care about me. Oh, no, we do care. But we just want you here to hear it, right? But here's the second thing. I think it's a little bit more important. You guys, I use this in our new members class. We all know people who are amputees, right? A body can function without parts. But you've never seen an amputated limb able to survive apart from the body. There's a reason for that. We need each other. Second thing. I know I spent a lot of time on that, but here's the second thing we can work on. By the motivation of our serving. We can glorify, elevate the glory of Christ by the reasons that we serve. Listen, I want to, and this is an encouraging thing. You guys have been so overwhelmingly eager to meet needs. If we need something, we make a phone call, we send an email out, and man, y'all just jump on things. But here's what I want you to understand. Where is that coming from? Is it coming from an overflow of your love for Jesus and the kingdom? Or is it just because you see a need and you want to meet it? There are two ways we can operate: out of obligation and compulsion, or out of opportunity and joy. Do you understand what a privilege it is to serve your brothers and sisters in the church? And listen, man, this is heavy work. Like, I know. I mean, you work a full-time job, you've got kids, you've got all these other responsibilities, and then here comes Pioneer Church going, hey, man, we need the best of you. We need all that we can get of you. And I know how heavy that can be, and I know you go, that's just one more thing I've got to put on my plate. And my whole point to this is sometimes you've got to start moving the things on your plate. And you will put the things on your plate that bring the most value to your life. And if Jesus is the value that we say he is, he will have his right place on the plate. But I just want to say this. Maybe you've been at Pioneer Church for a while. Maybe you're a spectator, and I say that in a gentle way, not meaning that you're sucking the life out of anybody or anything like that, but maybe you come, you worship, and that's it. There's a place for you here. There's a place for you to serve, to get plugged in, to love and be loved, and do the kingdom work that he's called us to do. You have gifts that this church needs. We need you. And so here's what I want to just extend an invitation, man. If you are here, you've been here, and you go, you know what? I think I need to do that. Call me. I'll come. We'll have coffee. If you don't drink coffee, we'll drink whatever you like to drink. There's a limit to that. We'll drink tea or water. But we'll sit down, and we'll talk about your passions. Because the way God's wired you is how you'll fit in here. We're not going to ask you to do something God hadn't called you to do, but we want you to do what he has called you to do. And here's what I know. When that happens, listen, this is important for going forward. When our desire is for Jesus to get glory instead of us, and we're working and serving out of a heart that wants him to be glorified and our church to move forward, there is not a lot of room for dissension and divisiveness. And I am so thankful that I'm saying that to you today from a place that we're not bothered by that. But it can happen. But man, when we're busy about the kingdom, we don't have a lot of time to get focused on us. Because when we're focused on us, that's when that stuff happens. And so let's keep our mindset on the kingdom. Moving quickly. Number two, the second resolution is a unity. Man, we gotta commit to a unity. And that's a typo in there. That is established and led by spiritually maturing believers. Look at verses 13 and 14. Paul says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ." So he's talking about everything he laid down to take up Christ for his sake, to be so he would be glorified in his life. But here's what he says. Here's the reality of it. It's not always going to happen that way, right? Life kicks in. We don't do the things we want to do. We mess up. Here's what he says. "But I know I haven't arrived, but here's my focus. It's not stopping." How many of you, man, when you get discouraged, you go, "Well, that's it," right? We defeat ourselves so much when we go, "Man, I had this desire to do this," and we start serving for a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden we run into a personality difference with somebody else. We're serving on a team with somebody, and we don't like that comment they made, and we go, "Well, you know what? I don't need this in my life." And we just cut it down, right? Paul says, "I can't be so quick to give up on this. I know I haven't arrived, but here's what I do. I forget what lies behind and I strain forward to what lies ahead, because there's a goal for me in this. There's something that's bigger than me that is accomplished when I give my life to the kingdom." And so he's saying, listen, if we're going to do this correctly and we're going to make this a goal in our church, we got to grow up. We got to grow up spiritually. We've got to become mature in how we face the fight of being a church in the world, right? Listen, there's a lot of different things that Pioneer Church can pursue. There's a lot of different things that we can take up to glorify Jesus, but they end up not glorifying Him. So how do we determine what are the things we need to commit to and fight for, and the things we need to set aside as a church? Look at what he says in verse 15. This is important. "Let those of us who are mature think this way." Being able to prioritize what's right, what's godly, what's kingdom-minded, and what isn't. "And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example that you have in us." So this passage has huge implications for the church. He's saying, listen, there's the only way for us to maintain this proper perspective and direction as a church going forward is this. It's through the investment and the influence of spiritually mature people working together to ensure that the whole body of Christ is going the same direction. Now, what does that mean? I had an interesting conversation with a pastor a couple weeks ago. And here's what he said. We were talking about what constitutes a healthy church. What makes a healthy church? And man, I said, people who love Jesus more than anything else, right? If I had a church full of people who just love Jesus more than life itself, it'd be the greatest church. And he said, "Would you grow?" I said, "Well, I don't know. We'd be happy, right?" He said, "You know what I think is a healthy church?" He said, "I think a healthy church has three groups of people." He said, "The first group are those who love Jesus with all their heart, and they are mature, and they are about the kingdom. And the second group are those who have just come to Christ, and they're young, and they have an eagerness, but they don't have an ounce of wisdom, and they want to serve Jesus, and they need some guidance and direction. And then the third group are those who are not Christians yet, who we come and we bring them here, and they get saved and they begin that journey." So here's what he says. There are people that need a healthy church. There's people who are far down the road, who are just getting started on the road, and are about to start the journey. But here's the thing. Those latter two, they make us uncomfortable, right? Man, y'all remember what it was like when your baby started to walk? You know, you're so excited that they're standing up, you know, and you're all clapping, and then they make that step, and boom, they knock a hole in the coffee table with their head, right? Like, oh, that's dangerous. And we get worried by that, right? We get afraid of that because we don't want our babies to get hurt. And so what happens is we put padding all over the place, right? You can tell when you've had more than one child, the padding in the house gets less and less, doesn't it? Right? We didn't have a gate up for Brady for the steps. Man, that first one, Hayden couldn't go anywhere. Like, he was contained to like this much. Brady's got free reign, man. And he has more bumps on his head too, by the way. But here's the point. We've got to stop being afraid that you have to be at a certain place in your walk with Christ before you can ever do anything for the kingdom. But with that, those of us who are just beginning the journey have to understand that we can't walk in the right direction without people who are showing us the right way to walk. You know what this is called? We've coined this phrase, and it's been going around the church for a long time. You know what it is? Discipleship. It's being in relationship with people who know more than you and who don't know as much as you, and walking in the same direction with them towards kingdom work. It is the most important part of a church. As much as I love to do this, you'll forget 93% of what I say by the time you walk out that door. But when you join your life with somebody and you let them see your warts and your dark spots, and they gently and lovingly speak truth into your life, that's when you begin to grow. And that's when you begin to fulfill the purpose that God has for your life. And so here's the challenge, man. Here's another truth moment. Every church has mature believers, these seasoned saints who have been walking with the Lord for a long time, and they love the Lord and they've seen his faithfulness, but they're just tired. They've taught the Sunday school classes. They've served on the committees in other churches, and some of them come to churches like Pioneer because they just need a respite. They need to rest. And here's what's the problem with that. When we rest too much, we get lazy. And here's what happens. We have people who are just learning to walk, who are knobby-kneed, and they can't really walk. And they'll go, well, I'm eager, right? These new Christians are eager. And they're gonna walk right into a spiritual wall. Because they need people who've been there before and who know what to do to help them get on the right path. And so here's what we have in every church. We have wisdom and we have eagerness. And a healthy church is able to bring them together to accomplish one single purpose. And so what am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. Some of you here, you're mature. You've been walking with the Lord a long time. You've served the Lord faithfully. We need you to get involved. There's teams that we need you to serve on. There's things that we need you to come alongside younger believers and help us. Man, I always, when I talk about Pioneer Church, here's what I say. We're a young church. We're a young church. We're a young church. But you know what? We're not really. And so here's what it means. We've got to have a place where we are learning from each other. And so some of you need to begin not only to attend small groups, some of you need to lead one. God's putting that on your heart, and you go, well, but I got other things to do. I'm busy. Prioritize that. So here's a question I want you to think about as you think about what God may be leading you to do in 2022 here. This is an important one. Is anyone else at Pioneer Church walking closer to Jesus because of your involvement in their life? No, you're not Jesus. But are they wanting to be more like Jesus because of their relationship with you? You see, that's what discipleship is. It's not that I want to be more like that person, but I want to be more like the Jesus that they love and has shown me. So that's a question that I want you to think about this morning. Listen, we build up the body of Christ. We'll build up Pioneer Church through our relationships with each other. The church grows as our relationships with each other grows. We can have the facilities, we can have the programs and the systems in place, and those are all important. But if we ain't got nobody to fill in those things, they're meaningless. And so Pioneer will grow as our commitment to grow in Christ together grows. And so here's my challenge. You ready? Here's what I want you to do in the next few weeks. I want each one of you to reach out to a person in this church that you don't know. My seasoned saints, this ought to be easy for you. Go find somebody and you say, you know what? I've seen you every week and I don't know your name. What's your name? And talk to them. I have not seen anybody bite anybody else in here. It may have happened, but I hadn't seen it. Some of my new folks, some of my younger believers, go up to a seasoned saint and say, can we have coffee this week? Can I buy you lunch? Can I buy you dinner? Make the effort to get to know somebody here that you don't know. Here's what's going to happen. In 3 or 4 years, when God has blessed Pioneer Church and we are exponentially larger than we are, that's going to get more difficult to do. So we need to start now of building an environment, a culture where we make an effort to know each other. Let me give you this third one and we'll be done. This one comes in the form of a warning, okay? Here's what Paul says. For many of whom I've often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that is able enables him even to subject all things to himself. So Paul ends this passage with some really heavy words. He's saying, look, here's what we want to do. We want to lay it all down for Christ. We want to stay consistent, helping one another, imitating one another as we follow Jesus. Here's the reality. Even in a small congregation like this morning, here's the reality. There are those who don't want to do it. Paul says, you will walk as an enemy of the cross. Now, I'm sure everybody in here would go, well, that's not me. I would never want to do that. I'd never walk as an enemy of the cross. But here's the question, how are they doing that? Here's what he says. He says that their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. Now, thank the Lord he's not talking about gluttony there. There are other places where he does talk about that, but here's what he's saying. They're just all about themselves. They want what they want, and their mind is made up. That I will find the place that caters to me. And when Pioneer stops being that place, I'll go find another place. And he says, you are walking as an enemy of the cross. You know why? Because the kingdom work is not being done when you look at being a part of a church that way. You and I cannot fulfill God's kingdom work when we're building our own little K kingdom. So here's the final point. I got to commit to build his kingdom instead of my own. Now here's where we come to the end of my words, because I can't make you not do that, right? I can't make you want to be a part of his kingdom and build his kingdom more. But I can tell you what that looks like. Every church in existence today is building a kingdom. Pioneer is building a kingdom. The church down the road that's 150 years old has been building a kingdom for 150 years. The question is, what kingdom are they building? For so long, we have gauged the success and health of a church by how much money they have in the bank and how long they've been in existence. But the truth is, it doesn't matter what your sign says out front. It doesn't matter what you gather to do every week. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. You cease being the church of the Lord Jesus Christ when you lay down His purpose to take up your own. How do we know that we've done that? There's three things that you need to look at from a church to see what kingdom they're building. One, how do they spend their money? In just a few minutes, we're going to vote on a budget. How is Pioneer going to spend its money this year? That will tell you which kingdom they're building. Number two, how are they making decisions? You see, a church that makes decisions to keep everybody happy is a church that is building their own little kingdom. But a church who says, you know what, this is going to be hard, this is going to stretch us, it may seem unpopular, but this is going to advance the gospel. That lets you know what kingdom they're building. And here's the third thing. Who is benefiting from our existence? Is it us? See, it's real easy for us to build our own little kingdom, and I call it our holy huddle, right? And we get together and we love on each other and smile at each other and enjoy our time together, but we never take it out there. And when out there decides to come in here by chance, we go, "Ooh, what are you doing here?" I guarantee we all have horror stories of walking into a church and feeling like you got a second nose on your forehead because of the way people look at you, right? Yikes. And God forbid you go in and you ask them spiritual questions because they go, "Well, you know, we don't really fool with that stuff, but we got a good thing going here." You see, Pioneer Church will cease to exist when we stop existing to reach out there with the gospel. And man, I'm excited of what God is working in my heart and in the hearts of others here to get out there this year. And you know what? We've hidden behind the same excuses that everybody else has. With COVID, right? It's not safe. And you know what? We'll do what we need to do to be safe. But man, it's time in 2022 for Pioneer to be out there. And so my question is, are you going to be out there with us? And so as we close, I got a couple things I just want us to end with. First is a promise. It's a good promise. It's Matthew 16:18. Jesus said, "I'll build my church." How does Jesus build his church? Through us. Through us loving him, through us obeying him and serving him, he said, "I'll build my church." So we don't have to worry about the legacy of Pioneer Church as long as we're seeking the one who promised to build it. And so as we get into this new year, where are you as far as it comes to Pioneer Church? I'm so thankful you're here. I'm grateful that you have given this day to come and worship. But where are you? Is this the place that you want to prioritize? Do you want to serve your brothers and sisters here this year? Because here's what I know will happen. We'll come to the end of 2022, and we'll be saying this to more people who have just started the journey. And there'll be more people who have matured and are helping lead the way. And we'll see this health continue over and over and over again. My point is, the end result of doing this is only good. It's only good. And so I want to end with a couple what ifs. What if today we decided to commit to His glory over our own and to be united and growing in maturity and discipleship and serving one another here? And what if we committed today to say, it's about your kingdom above mine? What would this place look like a year from now? You know what I don't think? I don't think we'll be in this brick building. If we are, it'll be four deep, four services deep. And I don't know, my health's got to get better before I can preach four times a day. But we'll grow people will come to Jesus. He'll be glorified. And listen, the greatest thing, his kingdom will be advanced. And then when we die, we'll hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And that, church, is what matters the most. I love you. I am so thankful that I get to walk this journey with you. And I cannot wait to see what happens this year. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for these people. And Lord, I just pray, God, with all my heart, that what has been said would be received with openness and humility, and that they would know that it has been spoken with the highest of love and care. And Lord, it's spoken from a place, Lord, not of dissatisfaction or in anger or anything other than just a desire to see us be better for your kingdom. Lord, thank you that, God, we have all that we need and we're as righteous as we'll ever need to be already. And Lord, we're not trying to earn anything by making these resolutions. We're not trying to be a more super or superior Christian. But God, we just want to serve you wholeheartedly. But Lord, the truth is, maybe there's some things that need to be moved around in our life, God. Maybe there's some things that you really want us to think about personally. Some priorities that we have, God, that are good priorities. But God, they don't serve to advance your kingdom. Lord, would you give us courage, Lord, to make any changes that we may need to make, God, not out of compulsion or obligation, but because we want our lives, God, to matter for your kingdom. We want to see salvations. God, we want to see the gospel have a real impact in this part of the world, and we want to be a part of it. And so, Father, I just pray that no one would leave here, God, with a heavy weight of condemnation, but God, that as your Holy Spirit works on us, and Lord, we would confess and repent of the things that we need to, that there would be just a sense of excitement moving forward. Thank you for all that you've done in Pioneer Church. Thank you for how you're going to lead us, the people that you're going to continue to raise up, Lord, to help us walk, Lord, in the right direction to fulfill your kingdom purposes, Lord. We're grateful to be called your children. We're grateful for this opportunity to be called Pioneer Church. And Lord, I just pray that you would use us up for your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen.